the anointing that's in him and upon him. Lord, I pray that he would be an oracle for us this morning, that he would speak the word straight from your throne room. Father, any ideas that Peter may have had that are not supposed to be included in this word, that they would fall to the ground dead, that we would have the richness of your heart this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Is that working? Thanks, Neil. Good morning, everyone. Isn't God good? He's my life. I hope he's everybody else's life. You know, I want to say, we can get discouraged sometimes and think, you know, especially for newer ones, yeah, what is he talking about? What's going on? I don't understand. I never get concerned about that because, you know, often your spirit knows what's going on, yeah, but your soul still needs to catch up. This still needs to catch up with what's actually going on. So when you don't understand something, don't get discouraged, because I used to come to church years ago. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. What do you want about? But you know what? Because of the presence of God, because I enjoyed his presence, he started to bring life from my spirit to my mind, to what was being said. And eventually the penny drops. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you. Whether you understand or not, the more you get into that, your spirit starts getting fed. And in the soul realm, the mind starts to catch up. So never get discouraged. This morning I want to talk about our spirit man. The spirit, because that's what is important. I have a question first. You don't have to answer it. Was our spirit ever holy? Was it ever holy? Was our spirit ever holy? We don't need to answer that. It's just something we need to ponder on for a moment. Was it ever holy? You see, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, when this body gives up, the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Then our spirit, that God created and sent into the body, that he prepared for us, tells me that our spirit was sent, was already holy. Now listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking blasphemy or anything else, but our spirit was sent from heaven. It had to have been. It was sent from God. Did God not say in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's funny. Is that a phone? No? Oh, you watch. Before God formed me in the womb, he already knew me. He had to have. Can you see our created spirit that was created by God, sent from heaven, sent jam-packed, full of the Father's godly DNA into a body that he had prepared for you and for me? So that spirit that was sent, put into a body, already had the DNA of heaven encoded into that. Now we could say that God's foreknowledge, that he knew us because he knows the outcome before the beginning, yeah? Does not scripture say in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world? So Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, I believe this foreknowledge about God's plans was already placed in our spirit before we were sent. That foreknowledge, that DNA that came from heaven, was sent into a body. Our spirit, created by God, sent from heaven, had all of the heavenly DNA encoded in us. It was already there. Our mission, our mandate, was put in our spirit before we were even formed in our mother's womb. This heavenly DNA, this heavenly purpose, is something that each of us have to find out about in this life. What's our calling? What's our purpose? Because each and every one of us has got a calling and a purpose in this life. The problem is, when our spirit man gets here, due to Adam's fallen state, our world is corrupted by the bloodline that carries the memory of sin from one generation to the next. Our memory of what's been placed in our spirit is for the most part forgotten. As we live from the soul realm, and we find that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of man. Because of this, we succumb to strongholds of the mind, strongholds of the imagination, and the lies and deceit of fallen humanity. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we must cast down imaginations. Cast them down. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because the world's always trying to tell you who God is and dictate to you and try and pull down who God is. And we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, I can see through a glass darkly this memory of what heaven is like and what our spirit remembers when it gets glimmers of our home, our eternal home, this glorious holy city without end, as the Bible talks about in Revelation 21:2. That place where our spirit was created and sent from. Do you ever wonder what your dreams... Do you ever wonder about your dreams that you have? Do you ever wonder? You know when you dream and you have a dream and then you wake up and you know something was there but you've forgotten it. And then later on, when we awake from the sleep, we often forget them. We know we've been dreaming, but if we don't try to remember them, the day moves in and they're forgotten, removed from our memory bank, or they're in the back of our subconscious somewhere. You know, I believe that this whole DNA thing that's come from heaven, that is like that. The whole dream thing we have, and if we don't remember it, you know, the day comes in, yeah, the world comes in, crowds out what we were actually dreaming about. And oftentimes you'll find in dreams, God speaks to you. I don't want to go into that now, but I've been writing some of my dreams. I've been looking back and I'm thinking, wow, I can see stuff in that. Many people never discover their heavenly purpose, their calling, and they go through life miserable, always knowing that something is not quite right. Something is missing. There is an emptiness, a void, and far too often they leave this life of unfulfilled dreams. Instead of finding their calling and purpose, they live out of survival mode because they've forgotten or never knew who they were created to be in the first place. You see, we've all got a call. There's an authorship on your life. We need to align ourselves with Christ to find that authorship because there's a call, a plan, a purpose, a mandate, a mission for every one of us. Cemeteries are full of unfulfilled dreams. Their dream DNA spilt into the earth, wasted. This vapor called life that is waiting to be swallowed up by eternity is the only shot we get at this. When we come to Jesus, in other words, become born from above, by giving our lives to the living God, Jesus Christ, who was slain before the foundation of the earth, our spirit man gets regenerated as the Holy Spirit becomes living and active in us again once more. When the Spirit of God lives in your spirit, he brings back activation, life, brings life, hope, purpose. And by the way, we need to change our way of thinking too. You see, we think death is the entry point to resurrection. In effect, that means death is our Savior instead of Jesus. Think of that. Oh, and by, I'm going to be... We have resurrection power now. Because if death is our Savior, then what about Jesus? See, Jesus is our Savior, not death. The moment we give our life to Christ, the heavenly DNA becomes alive and active again, and your spirit man is reactivated. This regeneration by the Holy Spirit brings our spirit back to life. Our spirit becomes, dare I say it, holy again. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness we will not see the Lord. You cannot even see the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit living in you. Romans 8:16 says his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are now a child of God. So when you're experiencing his presence and all that, and he's speaking to you, you know he's living in you. You know he's working with you. When you become born again, oftentimes we can begin to weep uncontrollably. Doesn't happen like that with everyone. Different ways for different people. For me, that's how I just get overcome by God. Even though you're weeping, it feels so good. You know, when you're in that presence and you start to cry, but this is feeling great. What's happening here? And we don't understand. I believe it's because our spirit man that has all the memory of heaven encoded in it fell asleep because of the sin of Adam. Our soul has been deceived and brainwashed by the god of this world, Satan. But once our spirit man was reactivated and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, our spirit remembers, even though our soul and our mind has no reference point for such things. You see, when the presence of God touches your spirit, you start to get excited, joy, you're laughing, you're crying, but your mind has no reference point for why you're feeling this way. I believe because of the DNA of heaven that was already there, that's actually died in Adam, Christ brings it to life again. And you start to remember, even though you have no reference point. But just like a newborn baby, our spirit yearns for the things of heaven. The memory becomes alive again. And so our spirit becomes so overjoyed with the memory of heaven that we begin to laugh and weep. When you're experiencing that, you're experiencing the presence of heaven. But our soul only knows earthly things. This is why it has to be retrained. It has to be a good servant to our spirit man. Our soul realm needs to be retrained to get in line with Christ and his spirit. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You know, people look at it two different ways. Oh, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. No, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The flesh is under. It's our spirit man that needs to be in control, and the soul needs to be subject to that. This is why the Holy Spirit separates soul from spirit through the living and active word. His word penetrates us to the dividing of soul and spirit. Why? Because our soul needs to be transformed by the renewing of the mind through his revelations of his word to you and me. Our soul needs to be transformed. The crying, the tears, the holy laughter, and inexpressible joy is coming from our spirit man that remembers the original heavenly encoded DNA when our spirits were holy. Think about the awesomeness as what is available to our spirit now that it is reconnected to God's Holy Spirit. Angels around God's throne constantly sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And I suspect that there is a new and deeper revelation released from the throne about God's goodness and his splendor each time they sing, "Holy, holy, holy." I believe those revelations come from that. Can you imagine the angels around there, you know, they've been there for who knows how long. Wow. New revelation comes. Holy, holy. That getting released onto the earth. Right throughout eternity, these revelations that are released are meant for us, his saints, to bring his kingdom to manifest here on the earth. Some people fail to find their purpose in life, or they get glimmers of the memory of their heaven-sent mission and begin to live out in their gifting and their purpose only partially. Why? I believe because they are still letting their soul govern their lives. Romans 11:29 says the gift and calling of God is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. The gift and calling on your life is irrevocable. And we all have gifts and callings. We just need to know what that is. The problem, though, because your gift and your calling from heaven was already placed in your DNA, it's irrevocable. The problem is when our body is formed in our mother's womb and then given birth, we are tainted by man's fall. And so we learn the ways of earth's fallen state. And our enemy, the devil, continues to blind the minds of man so that they cannot see the truth. Even their giftings have been tainted and confused. For example, someone with a prophetic gift on their life can get led astray into the clairvoyant realm because they realize they have a gift. And they think, oh, I've got this gift, I'm using it, but they don't realize that the enemy's confused them. A gift that is irrevocable, but instead it's being used and subverted by the devil. The devil can't create anything. All he can do is lie to you and take your gifts in another direction. Far away from God that gave you the gift in the first place. I have another question. Do we think that Jesus, just like us, did not remember who he was when he came to the earth? Or what was his mission or his mandate? Did he have a memory lapse because he was a man? These are things we've got to think of. Or did he know all along that he was different? I believe he always remembered his mandate right from childhood. I believe he was always holy. This is why we do communion. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit purchased a church of his own blood. This blood was never mixed with earth's memory, its fallen state. The blood was always holy. The blood had the memory of heaven. Jesus was and is the kingdom in bodily form. The memory of heaven, the blood of Jesus had the memory of heaven. He was and is the kingdom in bodily form. This is why the Holy Spirit came to Mary and we see the virgin birth. He, the Holy Spirit, purchased the church with his own blood. Not Mary's fallen, earthly, sinful lineage of blood. The blood had to be holy in order to regenerate us, for the life is in the blood. The life, the memory is in the blood. This is why Jesus always had the memory of who and what he was. The life is in the blood, therefore the memory of heaven has to be in this divine, untouched, untainted, sinless blood. The memory is in the blood. At a young age, he was already about his heavenly father's business when he went missing for 3 days and was found at the synagogue engaging the rabbis. Jesus knew who he was all along. His memory of heaven was all he knew. He did not need his spirit regenerated. It was already active and alive with all the memory and DNA from heaven. If not, then he could never have paid the price for us and redeemed us. His heavenly blood, which has and is now encoded in us, has given us the memory back. Through this second Adam, this one and only God the Son, this God the Son, Jesus Christ, was fully God and fully man, just like Adam. Well, Adam wasn't fully God, but, you know, fully man. He had the propensity to sin, being a man, but having untainted blood, he was sinless, just like Adam was before the fall. Yet he did not fall into temptation to sin, just like Adam did, and yet he was tempted in every way. Jesus restored what Adam had lost. Friends, this is why the devil hates the blood of Jesus, because of its divine heavenly encoding. When we come to the cross of Christ, this is why the devil tries to hide and obscure what took place on that day. When we eat the bread representing his flesh and drink the wine representing his blood, we are remembering his death and resurrection. But there is also the memory of our heavenly mandate being given back to us. Because we've all got one. We've all got a calling, a function. There's an authorship about you and me. We just need to know what it is. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life in them." Not only did his crucifixion restore our dominion and authority and the ability to subdue the earth once again and give us a prosperous, healthy life with soundness of mind and joy, peace and victory over spiritual darkness, his blood also restores the memory of heaven. Do you ever wonder why Jesus said to Mary after he rose from the dead, "Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended"? But then later on he let Thomas put his fingers in the wounds from his crucifixion so he would not doubt. Why in the morning did Jesus say to Mary one thing, but then in the evening to Thomas another? I believe because the blood had not yet been presented to the Father on the mercy seat. The same as in the Old Testament, when the sacrificial lambs had been slaughtered, everything had to be covered in the lamb's blood. The mercy seat had to be covered in the sinless blood of the Saviour of the world. This is why in the morning Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended," but by evening it was complete. The blood had now been placed on the mercy seat before the Father, and now Thomas was able to handle the Messiah. Can we see why communion is important? Why Jesus said, "Whoever eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood has eternal life in him." Jesus also said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because the memory is in the blood of Jesus. The promises are in the blood of the new covenant, shed for you and me. No wonder the devil hates the blood of Jesus. It's the blood that sets people free. People think, "Oh, I don't talk about the blood," but it's the blood that sets people free. It's because he paid for you and me a price we couldn't pay. The devil thought he'd won on that day Jesus was crucified, but instead on that day, the devil was stripped of his power and made a public spectacle of. In the Old Testament, a priest's preparation to serve in the temple required a blood covering to cleanse him of his own sin. Once the blood has been applied, the oil followed, sealing the priest's ordination for service. But in the New Testament, we apply the blood of Jesus, and this follows being sealed by the Holy Spirit. You see, when you've got that blood washed covering saint, the Holy Spirit turns up, the presence turns up, because he has to. We always need to remember the importance of the blood. What separates us from the world is the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that's transformed my life. It's the blood of Jesus that's transformed your lives. It's that that brings the Holy Spirit, his presence, his love. Because Jesus paid, the Holy Spirit paid, purchased the church with his own blood. In the New Testament, we apply the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always comes in presence once the blood is applied. The Old Testament oil is representative of the same Holy Spirit's presence in the New Testament. Jesus has paid the price for our sin. He died in our place. As soon as we acknowledge that Jesus shed his blood for us, that he was judged in our place, we come into communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. Jesus made a way where there was no other way. This morning we are going to offer communion as a prophetic act to remember his broken body and all the promises that goes with it. To remind us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Jesus asks us to do this prophetic act. We even see Melchizedek in Genesis 14:18. Now some of you don't know who Melchizedek is. Don't worry about it. The more you hear it, your spirit will get it one day. But in Genesis 14:18, the king of Salem, the king of peace, the king of Jerusalem, doing the same prophetic act even before Christ ordained it. Melchizedek brought out the bread and the wine. He brought the bread and the wine as a celebration of the victory for Abraham and the defeat of the enemy. It signified the coming of our high priest in the order of Melchizedek, Jesus, who was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't believe Melchizedek was Jesus, just in case you're thinking that. But he was a shadow of what was to come. Friends, we really need to understand why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." His blood and body paid for our wholeness. At his crucifixion, all the benefits of his royal priesthood were given to us. The crown of thorns for our sanity. His pierced hands for our blessed hands. His pierced feet for our taking back dominion wherever we step. The lashes on his back that mangled his flesh, by his stripes we're healed. The spear in his side, his agony, his pain, where the blood gushed out of his side, we received his joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All these promises were given to us. This is why we take communion in remembrance of him. We need to understand that the promises were written in blood for you and me. No wonder the devil tries to hide and obscure the cross in the midst of his man-made religions that keep you lost, miserable, depressed and powerless. All these man-made religions to hide what actually happened on the cross. It's the blood that transforms, nothing else. So friends, let's pray this morning. I just want to speak through this first. 1 Corinthians 11, 23-25 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You know, we've lost something here. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." We get so caught up sometimes and say, "Oh no, we don't want to do that." But we don't understand the power and the importance of what we've actually missed here. The blood, the body, it's important. These promises, we need to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. There's a reason for that. So, Lord, right now, we thank you for your broken blood, body. We thank you for the price you paid. We thank you, Lord, that your heavenly DNA now lives in us because we appropriate these things. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for healing, prosperity. Father, all the things, all the promises that you've given us, soundness of mind, Lord, you remove depression. We give it all to you. Your word says, "Cast all my cares upon you because you care for me." So we cast all our old nature off and we receive your blessings. We eat this bread in remembrance of what you did, Lord. Give thanks for the blood.
Jesus, I thank you for the blood that you shed that brought the new covenant, that did away with the old covenant, that required many animals' lives to be lost because the life was in the blood. But Lord, you did this once and for all and sat down at the right hand of our Father, and it is finished. So as we partake of this new covenanted blood, we draw into our bones your very DNA, that yes, we would Lord. Begin to walk in the power and the dominion and the healing and the promises that you have ordained and appropriated.